Reading from John chapter 20 and verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Thanks, Tim. Oh, it's great to be here. I think the Lord has spoken already this morning. He gives us a spirit to pick up what he's saying to his church, doesn't he? Through prayer, through song. So many different ways that the Spirit wants to speak to his church and us as individuals, right from the beginning. And I trust that he spoke even before you even came along this morning. Maybe you had a quiet time. I was going to put hands up if you had a quiet time. Oh, there's a few there. I recommend it, even in a busy, loud household. Try and squeeze in those minutes with the Lord, because I sometimes can tell when I'm talking to people that they've had their quiet time. You know, when you can sense that someone's being with the Lord. Are you the same as me? You want something new from the Lord? Do you want something new today from him? It's come through a little bit this morning already. And I've been going through James, and I've just put it on hold because I thought about the setting here this morning. Going to be talking about that upper room. We're in a room, and I don't know if you picked up on it, but the doors were shut, and I've got to say our windows are open. Tried to get the doors open a little bit for some ventilation, but there was fear. There was some fear amongst those that were gathered together because of the Jews and authorities. And I don't want to be controversial, but where the Lord is, there is no fear. And Tim has just read it, and he said it twice, that he came, Jesus came and stood in the midst. And this morning, just those little fears and anxieties, if your eye is just on the Lord, he's wonderful. And I really want just to speak this morning about the Lord giving the Holy Spirit. And that being the very breath that's in our lungs. We've been so conscious for 18 months of what could be getting into our lungs. This morning I just want the Lord to breathe again in our lungs. Do you want that this morning? I was at home thinking, that's quite a straight question, but do you want that from the Lord? And I know that there would be, oh yes, yes, yes. It was 1960s when the Lord really poured out his spirit. I'm a second generation from that. And all I hear is stories about it. And that's from my parents and other friends and all that. There was a pouring out wonderfully, graciously by the Lord across this country and other places too. And there were pockets just being filled by the Lord's Spirit. You know, there were some coming out from the Church of England. There were students that were kind of thinking, I want more than just sitting on a pew and just liturgy. I want something. And the Lord graciously, and I've heard the stories, and I love it. You can learn from it. But I wasn't there. And so the second generation, sometimes we live in hearing about these stories, but oh, I want something new. Across all ages. And I'm just asking you this morning, do you want that? I believe the Lord is such a wonderful giver. We've sung it. Just come with me into Scripture. There's a few things that I think need to be put in place before that happens. I found this just very interesting. Luke is just an amazing writer. I would love to have seen some of his prescriptions as a doctor, because they would have gone into so much detail. Maybe you wouldn't want to hear his detail of what's wrong with you, but you know, he just went into amazing detail, and he was almost, it was kind of almost part B of the Gospel of Luke. So we're in Acts, and it says this, Tim's just read it, I just want to pick up on one thing, that he goes and speaks to the disciples when they're assembled together. The doors were shut, there was fear. I think there were a lot of people there in trembling and unbelief. Think about even Thomas. There were all kinds of people that were just lots of thoughts and emotions gone. And he says this. Jesus said to them in verse 21, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And I just picture him. I'm not going to do that this morning to you. But can you just picture it? He stood there. And he just breathed upon them. It was just an illustration of what was to come. And then he says this, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And it really struck me this week. We often retain things, and they can be hurts, bitterness, arguments, sin. And they can just fester and become bitter. And I realise that in actual fact he's here saying, in some ways, you've got to release things. You've got to release things. It could be your hurts, your cares. And when that happens, the receiving the Holy Spirit, I think there's actually a time of preparation before that. And I went, in my previous church, we wanted to be engaged in evangelism in the local area. And some visiting speaker came and said, before you engage in evangelism, soak and bathe yourself in prayer. And we did, and we met on Saturday mornings. And we did it for about 18 months. And nothing came of it. Nothing. There was no movement. And we were very sincere. We would sit and meet and pray on a Saturday morning. Just a few of us. And then the numbers started to decrease. People started to enjoy their Saturday morning lines, and there was nothing much happening, and it just came to an end. And I think, well, what was the purpose in that? And I still, even to the day, I think, well, one thing is, I think I learned how to pray. I just learned how to pray, and just to be with the Lord and to be quiet. But one thing maybe that the Lord wanted was this thing of maybe we need to release some of the things of our historic hurts. And I was recently at the conference and at Quinta, and one of the seminars, someone had done a talk, and then it went to question and answer. And someone then just said, well, 30 years ago, this person so hurt me and blah, blah. And it went on. And I think what really hurt me and saddened me was that 30 years ago, the Lord wants to do something new now, today. And there are so many things that we retain and hold on to. I think then he will just, and he'll just flood in, breathe in. Breathe in those lungs that in some ways in the last 18 months, We have just gone through it, and in it we do rejoice. We rejoice that he's been so faithful to us in it all. But I wonder now if our gaze is upward, the Lord just wants to, those that are in this room on Zoom, breathe in. So first thing, the preparation is let go of the things, the hurts, those hurts that have happened to you, let them go. And then it goes on. I keep thinking about how he was just going after Thomas. And he kind of showed himself to Thomas. For me, when he showed the scars and the imprints, it was really about forgiveness. How can this wonderful man stand here and he's showing forgiveness to them? That we must forgive others, which is linked to that verse I just said. We can only find forgiveness when you look at the Lord and what he has done and how he's forgiven us. We then can show forgiveness. Then our hearts are clear, the ground is prepared, and then the Spirit, I believe the Lord can just flood it in, the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, but 20 years ago, someone said this to... Oh, isn't it sometimes the Lord just... Fresh breath, that fire, that book by Jim Cimbala. Fresh faith, wasn't it? There was fresh power. Fresh wind, fresh power, wasn't it? Fresh wind, fresh fire. Thanks, Dave. But that book had a little impact on me those years ago. Let's just go on. I've been trying to work out. If you go into Acts with me, if you just flick over, if you've got your Bibles... It just says this. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. This is the Holy Spirit. Which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And there was a sense of which there was kind of a nationalistic kind of viewpoint going on where they just wanted Israel to be kind of restored to us, and it's kind of, he may come with a bit of an army and will overthrow all those powers that are in place. It wasn't that. There was so much more going on. It's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come. And my little theme that I fit this morning is power to the powerless. If we do not have the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are powerless. Do you know what? I read somewhere that there is almost, not in the last 18 months obviously, but before that, evangelism was on the most, it was kind of the percentage wise of churches and groups doing evangelism was at a high. But actual converts were at a low ebb. And I was thinking, why is that? And I then just thought about these guys gathering together, that without this breath that is in us, I can go through so many different methods of doing things. It's the life giver. It's what the woman at the well found when she got there. She found grace from the Lord Jesus. She found life, and then she got on mission. And I say this to myself, working, I've never ever worked with a Christian. I've worked for, well, I'm 16 and now 45, I don't know, I can't even do the maths, let's say 30 years. But I've never worked with a Christian. And in some ways I've never had a method really of how I speak to them. But I just love them. If it's based in love. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He just keeps on revealing the Father and the Son. Each day when you go into work. And in that there is love. I did go through a phase of trying to catch them out in conversations. When they used to curse the Lord. I used to say, oh, so you know the Lord. Or you mentioned his name. Tell me about him. You keep mentioning his name. You keep saying. those two words. Can you just enlighten me on what you... And then it goes off and, well, I don't know if I do any good then. It just goes a bit... But it makes me feel, come on, that's... It's a wonderful name. Oh, how we need the Spirit. There was this initial at Pentecost and outpouring. I understand that. I understand now that we are still living in those days where there is a pouring out, and each day we need to be indwelled by the Spirit. But in some ways, I just pictured us in this room, back in this kind of musty room where the chairs are still the same, and you may be sat in your same seat that you've always sat in, but there's something new that the Lord wants to do in our lives. Honestly, I'm excited. Verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. This verse here, they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They all continued in one accord in prayer. You know, when I asked you at the beginning, do you want the Lord to move? I think there's a sense in which the Lord, when he sees that coming together, hearts that are prepared, a oneness, a one accord that the Lord would work again, he just flows in. What does supplication mean? I had to read it. I had to look it up. It's a form of prayer, and it says this: supplication is a form of prayer in which someone makes a humble petition or an entreaty to God. And I just thought two words. I thought about that. I thought, a humble hunger. I wonder, in that room, I think there was a humble hunger that the Lord would do something. They weren't sure what it was going to be, apart from you'd receive the Holy Spirit, but I don't think they knew what was going to happen from it. Is there a humble hunger in our hearts? Or is it like me for years, hearing about the 1960s when the Lord poured out his Spirit across a country, and I hear about it, but I never tasted it. But then did come to know the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit and his indwelling. I was hungry, and I believe at the time I used to pray to be humble, and then I realized, no, you just got to humble yourself. I went through all these, and I think I used to talk to people, how do I get more? You've got to humble yourselves. Honestly, it's almost a physical thing of just coming down low. You know, coming down low, Lord. So they continued in one accord. So a humble petition to an entreaty to God. Prayer, however, can be defined as sincere thanksgiving. We've had that this morning. Or requests made to God. And we have lots of requests, don't we? I would say in the last 17, 18 months, our requests have probably just gone up, haven't they? You know, just with the things that people are going through. But he's saying, humble ourselves. One asks for a desire, something from God. In prayer there may be no requests, but only praise showered upon God. I love that. I just wrote this down as I was thinking about the subject of the Holy Spirit. And I just put this, it says, I said, the work of the Holy Spirit reduces our use of the personal pronouns to a more selfless collective way and outlook, much like the Spirit's work of revealing the Father and the Son in the triune unity. I know that's a little bit wordy, but I realise that many of the songs that we sing can be the personal pronoun, I, me. It's all about me. Oh, I'd like this. I really want that. I think the Holy Spirit changes that in a man and a woman's life and makes it more our. You, Lord, are you doing okay? Do you think that's right? How can we help those that we work with that don't yet know the Lord, family members, without some way taking the thing off our own personal pronouns and saying, and then it just going out there? And I think that's how the Lord works, through the Holy Spirit. Just engages, brings an energy to his people. Yesterday we took our middle son, it was his birthday yesterday, and we took him to something called Wild Shore. And it was in Liverpool at Albert Docks, and it's these big, large inflatables in the water. And it's like an assault course, and you have to get on, climb up, and then you can go down a slide into the water, and then you go through lots of different activities. And they get to the end and they're just, oh. And I dropped them off. He was there with his three or four friends. And I got to the desk and just gave the names and paid and things like that. And I was looking, and it just looked fun. I wanted to be a boy again. And the lady said, did you want to go on? And I just looked at her, and I think I just went blank for a little bit, because I said, no, it's okay, no. I didn't want to cramp my son's styles, okay, and make a fool of myself. But I realised that why I said no was I just didn't have the energy. And then when I got up and was watching them doing all their activities, all the things and the fun and the jumping and all, I was just relieved. And this isn't a great illustration of what I'm going to say, but the Holy Spirit is the one that does bring an energy. He does. I would have stood at the desk there and said, yes, I want to get on. I want to go for it. And I don't know if you've ever felt it in your, I was going to say church life, that's not the right, or life of being in the Lord's church, the body. But have you ever felt just nothing there, energy, maybe a bit sharp, maybe a few edges? It's just wonderful. Holy Spirit does just bring that little bit of, yeah, I want to get on that. I want to go around that assault. I want to. That's a terrible analogy, but do you get what I'm saying? He gives that energy to do things. He gives us that wonderful love to speak to the person that doesn't know the Lord. One of the things that when Peter stood up and preached after he received the Holy Spirit, it says, and with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. One of the things that the Spirit does when you do converse with people is it's basically saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. And boy, do we live in a crooked generation. So mixed up. The Holy Spirit in his fullness gives people power to reveal Christ both by lip and life. Lip and life. I've probably said it before, but that thing of you can have the words to say things and the Lord gives utterance, but also he just wants us to live, walk, work hard, and people see it. We have to give a reason for our hope. I said to someone recently, you do know that people see, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know that people see hope in you. And if they see hope in you, you have to give a reason for it. Someone will ask you, why are you so happy when... Straight away, conversation starter. We must be ready to give a reason for our hope in this crooked generation. The Spirit of God was concerned with the inner life of the church in every place, strengthening, encouraging, enabling the church to grow. You don't need to turn there, but in Acts 9 it says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." It just caught me, that thing that I've just talked about, an initial outpouring. The Holy Spirit coming amongst all the people. And after that happened, there was, they all just went out, and it says from a local place, and they went out to Samaria and all the different, and then there came this almost just rest that the Lord just started to edify those in that group. I found that wonderful. You know, the Lord cares for those and pastors those in the church, and also for those he cares for that he wants to bring into the church. Isn't that amazing? Does that make sense? You can say, "I'm not sure, Mark, it's fine." But I've heard it before. Someone I chatted to recently said he's in a place, a church in over the water. He says, "We are just so, everything is just so," which you may have a go at me for this, "but everything is just outreach." But he says, "I feel a little bit lost, and I need some pastoral care here. This person had issues." And he just was saying, "Sometimes I think the Lord has this wonderful thing. He can actually care for those sheep in the flock. And also, because we are sent and commissioned, he is also after those that he wants to bring in." Isn't that wonderful? I think there's an incredible balance there that the Lord brings into his body. What a comfort. I was trying to think of someone in the Old Testament that I could give an illustration to, someone that in some ways the Holy Spirit was working in and through. And just, I don't know if you want to come, but you don't have to, but it's in Job of all places. You kind of think, wow. And it's just about comfort. You know, the comforter described as the Holy Spirit. Let me just read these verses to you. This is in Job chapter 32. It's this character called Elihu. Okay, and you know that, if you know the story of Job, he had these three so-called friends that were so-called comforting him. I would say, I think there was a little bit of a, I think the jury's out on that there. But there was this interesting man that came and comforted, and actually corrected Job. Just listen to this. This is what can happen if the Holy Spirit is working in a life. He says this, Job has basically had counsel from these three guys, and it's just been horrendous. And then this young man comes in. He says this in verse 6. "So Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, 'I am young in years, and you are very old.'" This is him saying it to the three comforting friends. "Therefore I was afraid. I dared not declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak, and multitudes of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding." Amazing. First thing there, the Holy Spirit can bring this amazing new understanding. And it's not about age. Okay, I'm just looking around. Young, old, never received the Holy Spirit. It's not about... It goes on. "And the multitude of years should teach wisdom, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Therefore I say, listen to me, I will also declare my opinion. I waited for your words, I listened to your reasonings, while you searched out what to say. I paid close attention to you, and surely no, not one of you convinced Job or answered his words. Lest you say, we found wisdom. God will vanquish him, not man. Now he has not directed his words against me." And it goes on, just stick with me. "So I'll answer him with your words. They are dismayed and answer no more. Words escape them. I have waited because they did not speak, because they stood still and answered no more. I will answer my part. I too will declare my opinion. For I am full of words." The spirit within me compels me. Indeed, my belly is like the wine that has no vent. I mean, this is descriptive language. This guy's bursting. Bursting to say what the Lord wants to say through him in the spirit. I will speak that I may find relief. And I was just thinking, just wanted to get it out. I must open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray, show partiality to anyone, nor let me flatter any man, for I do not know how to flatter, else my Maker would soon take me away. And it goes on. But please, Job, hear my speech and listen to all my words. Now I open my mouth. One thing that the Holy Spirit does to you, he just opens your mouth and utters things that you can't always utter. My tongue speaks in my mouth. My words come from my upright heart. Do you remember that first verse I said about if you retain certain things in your life, there may be issues that you will not receive what the Lord wants you to receive. For you can answer me. Set your words in order before me. Take your stand. Truly, I am your spokesman before God. I have been formed out of the clay. Surely no fear of me will terrify you, nor will my hand be heavy on you. Surely you have spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the sound of your words, saying, I am pure, without transgression, I am innocent, and there is no iniquity in me. And it goes on and on and on. And can I just say that the Lord is the one that in that situation just brought an incredible counsel to Job. And that was just done by the Holy Spirit. Now sometimes you may not know what words to say in such dire circumstances, but can you just say, just trust in the Lord. He can just fill those lungs and each day utter the words that need to be uttered. Wonderful. Just a little hymn that spoke to me. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive your church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit your church to meet this hour. Now the hour now is very aggressive against Christianity. Very aggressive. So the new normal is Christianity is in a past tense, it's not relevant. Okay, and basically it's just aggressive, and actually when you're in a job where you're standing up, making a stand as a Christian, what happens now is that it would usually be that they would actually go and you're dangerous that you would lose your job, which means your livelihood, which means if you're paying a mortgage, a bit scary. But that is how aggressive and how it is working in these days. So in the hour, the Lord can still help us now. Pray for one another. Pray for the teachers. You have to work out what their red lines are. Pray for those in authority. The Lord will equip us for that hour. O wind of God, come bend us, break us, till humbly we confess our need. Time's going. Then in your tenderness remake us, revive, restore, for this we plead. O breath of love, come breathe within us, renewing thought and will and heart. Come, love of Christ, afresh to win us, revive your church in every part. Oh, for those in those rooms over there, the young ones. For those on Zoom this morning that still may not feel like they can actually just come in a room, refresh and revive them. For us this morning, do you want to be refreshed, revived? Do you want something new in these lungs? O heart of Christ, once broken for us, 'tis there we find our strength and rest. Our broken, contrite hearts now solace, and let your waiting church be blessed. Revive us, Lord, is zeal abating, while harvest fields are vast and white. Revive us, Lord, the world is waiting. Equip your church to spread the light. That's a wonderful hymn. You know, a wonderful description of the Holy Spirit is an enabler. He's an equipper and an enabler. He will enable us as we go into various locations to speak the words that the Lord wants to speak. Isn't that wonderful? I've probably not covered it. I just want to read this. I've read this book here. I'm going to recommend it because it was a very interesting book. It's called Analog Church by Jay Kim. It's been such an interesting read in the last 18 months about what is happening to the church and what's happened to it in the digital age. This just brings a fresh look about what's happening and what's needed back in the church. And for me, it's the breath again. The church just needs that wonderful breath of the Lord to breathe upon us. Let me just read this. This is a man that's led various different churches, and he said at each, "We felt the strong temptation of the digital age, the temptation to pursue relevance at any cost. We found ourselves spending inordinate amounts of time and energy trying to create spaces that looked, sounded and felt like whatever we thought was the most relatable to popular culture at large. Sometimes we chose wisely and sometimes we looked for things too far. Ultimately, though, we discovered that any sort of sustained emphasis on relevance invariably led to satisfied Christian customers who found a product they enjoyed, but rarely led to anything deeper. The most transformative experiences people were having in our communities, we slowly realized, had nothing to do with the lights, sound and spectacle. Transformation was happening in much more tactile ways, through personal relationships and profound simplicity of studying scripture, praying and sharing meals together." I could go on a little bit further, but some of those things are in Acts. Eat together. Talk with one another. Love one another. Read scripture to one another. Amazing. Can I just recommend it? It's such a good book. If you're into extra reading, try and squeeze it in somehow. Should we just pray? Lord, here we are. Lord, we are gathered in that room. Lord, there is fear sometimes with those that gather, but Lord, this morning, we have known your presence amongst us. Lord, I pray that you would just bring this revival to our hearts. A rejoicing in the pain. As Richard mentioned earlier on, Lord, a new rejoicing, Lord, as we daily live out, Lord, our lives to you, Lord. Lord, if there are hearts this morning here that, Lord, have become wearied, dry, sore, bitter, maybe like Thomas, a little bit of unbelief creeping in. Lord, would you breathe upon us? Lord, we come, Lord, humbly and hungry. Lord, breathe upon us, Jesus, with your Holy Spirit that was shed abroad, that we may be sent out, Lord, to family, colleagues, those that are on the fringes that we meet, friendship groups, Lord. Lord, just your breath we pray for, Lord. Breathe upon us. Lord. Amen. Amen.